Islam, Islamophobia, and the efforts to combat hate. Today on UK Perspectives, I'm Chase Kavanaugh. Ever since September 11th, 2001, American Muslims have faced increased scrutiny from the government and general public. However, with the recent terror attacks in Paris and San Bernardino, the scrutiny has often degenerated into discrimination and outright hatred. One of the largest groups to push back against these attitudes is the Council on American-Islamic Relations, which advocates for American Muslims through educational outreach, government lobbying, and legal work. My guest this week is Rula Alouche, who is a University of Kentucky and University of Kentucky Law School grad. She first got involved with CARE through its Cincinnati chapter, serving as its chair from 2008 to 2013. In 2014, she was appointed board chair for the National CARE Body. Ms. Alouche, how have your studies at the University of Kentucky and your activism in the local CARE chapter led you to where you are today?
My experience at the University of Kentucky, both in undergrad and law school, I think helped lay a foundation for me to be able to kind of work in these different areas. I certainly got an education in legal experience and litigation. My private practice is as a litigator at the University of Kentucky Law School, but I also was able to just learn different ways of activism and really provided some excellent information in terms of how to move forward with these different activities in my career.
What are your main responsibilities in CARE, and how do they tie into CARE's greater mission?
As board chair, I find it my responsibility to really make sure that the organization continues to run, that we do the work that is necessary to fulfill our mission and vision statements, and also to make sure that we as a board and as an organization have the tools necessary for our staff to, on a daily basis, do the work that's necessary to fulfill that mission and to serve really the community's needs in this time.
Since you have both experience at the local and national level when it comes to CARE, what is the main difference between those two types of activism, at least from your perspective?
You know, in terms of the daily work and the issues that the community is facing, I think a local office and local chapter is dealing with a microcosm of what the national office deals with on a daily basis. Certainly from the national perspective, we're serving as the center for the work against Islamophobia and defending and protecting the rights and liberties of the American Muslim community. So the pieces of the organization from the different chapters and from issues occurring in the community across the country all kind of become centralized in the D.C. office. And we also deal with government relations out of the office that's a few blocks from the United States Capitol.
How large is Kentucky's Islamic community, and what sort of difficulties do they face in daily life, particularly with regard to recent events?
There are thousands of Muslims in Kentucky. I don't know the exact number. There's a high number in Lexington and Louisville, northern Kentucky, but there are a lot of Muslims in other parts of the state as well. Really, Kentuckians have Muslim neighbors and Muslim coworkers and people that are assisting them as medical doctors and teachers and other things, as Muslims in Kentucky are really living in everyday parts of American life, just as other Americans from other faith backgrounds. I think that for the Kentucky Muslim community, again, it's a good example of what's happening across the country. While there are many stories of support and interfaith people standing in support with the American Muslim community, generally speaking, and then with Kentuckians as well. But unfortunately, there are incidents that have occurred, particularly in the last couple of weeks. In Louisville, for example, a mosque was recently vandalized with some hate comments and graffiti. The follow-up to that was a beautiful coming together and unity from people in the Louisville community surrounding that mosque community with love and support, but you know, unfortunately, there's the fear associated with an attack and vandalism and threat of violence that leads to for the community. And then just even more recently, on Thanksgiving weekend, a mosque in Lexington was the subject of a death threat, and it was a direct email sent to the mosque, and the person that made the threat felt comfortable enough to leave his name and make it clear that he was threatening physical violence against the membership of the mosque and people that would come to pray. So I think certainly the community in that situation was concerned about that type of threat, but that's an example, I think, of what's been going on across the country in the last few weeks.
To sort of touch on some of the national events, particularly some of the sources of this Islamophobia, what is your response to Trump's recent remarks, in particular his proposal to ban all Muslims?
his comments have been concerning for some time. They're outrageous. This latest information that he's seeking to ban Muslims from the United States, that includes United States citizens, and it includes people that, you know, Muslims are serving in all forms of government. So they're serving in the army and different armed services, and they also just are participating in everyday life. You know, really his comments are reminiscent of fascism, and we as a community and as a society and as a culture need to stand up against that and say that enough is enough, and we're not going to allow comments like that to continue. And to answer the first part of your question, I think that comments like his and others are certainly part of why we're seeing such an increase in Islamophobia and an increase in violence and attacks and threats to members of the American Muslim community across the country.
In your experience, what is the best way, or at least methods to use in order to counter that kind of Islamophobia?
I've always believed that the strength is in the unity of all of us standing with one another and standing against all forms of hate, whether it's Islamophobia, racism, or other forms of hate, that we just need to come together and stand up against those things. So things like interfaith work and really reaching out to one another so that we can know and learn from one another and stop having a fear of this unknown, particularly, for example, currently with the American Muslim community. I think there's a lot of misinformation about Muslims and Islam, and that leads to fear that people have about Muslims. And when an experience has shown me time and time again that when we connect with one another and when we share information, we realize how much more we have in common than there are differences among us, and that type of information helps to unify us.
There was an interesting NPR article recently about backlash within the Muslim community with regards to law enforcement, in the sense that they didn't feel it was right that law enforcement was specifically tasking them with rooting out terrorists. Has there been a similar backlash within the Kentucky Muslim community?
I think, again, the Kentucky Muslim community would stand with others in other parts of the country that say that we want to cooperate with law enforcement, and facts and information in the past show that we have cooperated with law enforcement, but there is a line that shouldn't be crossed where it becomes a situation where members of our community are subject to surveillance for no reason other than their background and their faith. And that is where, you know, we would push back against law enforcement, saying that you can't have a true partnership with us if you're claiming that you're in our mosque to meet with us and to build bridges with us, but instead what we learn is that you're really spying on us. And members of the Kentucky Muslim community and the American Muslim community, again, have shown time and again, and their statistics show that we are standing and working with law enforcement, but also need to be protected against being subject to profiling and surveillance.
Is there anything else in particular you want to add about the national situation?
You know, I think these are troubling times and certainly challenging for many. I think that we as a country are being challenged to now see this rhetoric at such a high level and a high degree from people that are even at this point running for the highest elected office in our land. And I really think while it's a challenge, it provides us as a community an opportunity to come together and say that we are not going to permit that type of hate and that type of xenophobia to stand, and that just as we've stood against as a community and unified against other forms of hate, that we're going to unify and speak out against these forms of hate and the latest type of xenophobic remarks as well.
I know you are both involved in CARE and still have a full-time job in your legal career. How do you balance all that?
You know, I do my best to try to maintain the different obligations that I have. I really find that I love the practice of law and really enjoy being a litigator, and I'm very rewarded by the opportunities I have with CARE and also volunteer work with the American Bar Association and the Kentucky Bar Association as well. So I see it more as opportunities rather than time challenge. I really enjoy a lot of what I do, so it doesn't feel like time spent away from things I enjoy. Rather, I feel like I'm hopefully able to contribute in some ways, which for me is a lot of why I went to law school in the first place, was that notion that many of us have that we'd like to try to serve people and help. And I think that many in the legal community share that feeling with me, that we have an obligation to serve and to give back. And I'm hoping that through my work with CARE and the ABA and KBA and other ventures that I'm able to do that. So, yeah, it's a lot of time, but it's ultimately such such a rewarding experience that it doesn't feel like a problem.
Finally, is there any advice you would give right now to Kentucky Muslims?
Yeah, I think that we as a community need to be comfortable and be confident in who we are. We know the contributions that we have. We know that we are everyday Americans living and contributing to society. And while we as a community may have some concerns about people being hateful towards us, we know that history shows us that the American people and Kentuckians will stand with us and will, I think, rise against the level of hate that's been going on, and particularly the heightened hate and Islamophobia that we've been feeling for the last few weeks. But to really just stand strong and to not allow fear to push us into staying at home, for example, or to changing how we represent ourselves, that, you know, we stay confident in who we are and know that the American people, and that for Kentucky and Muslims, that the people of Kentucky will stand with us.
That was Rula Alush, the board chair for the Council on American-Islamic Relations, the largest Muslim advocacy group in the country. For UK Perspectives, I'm Chase Cavanaugh.